In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, it is certainly unknown that Luther did not consider the Epistle of James to be his favorite book of the Bible. I said that it's unknown? Oh, hardly. Everybody knows that Luther did not consider the Epistle to James to be Luther's favorite book of the Bible. Yet, when it comes to the sixth petition, the petition of the Lord's Prayer, which has been appointed for our meditation on this Friday, Luther and James shake hands. In fact, I would be ready to say that James provided Luther with the format for Luther's explanation to the sixth petition. Luther says in the sixth petition, when he asked, "What does this mean? God surely tempts no one." And yet that is what James said centuries before Luther wrote his petition. For in our text we read, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.'" And so Luther, in his explanation to the sixth petition, comes with that bullet response after he asks the question, "What does this mean? God surely tempts no one." Luther and James did shake hands when it came to the explanation of the sixth petition. Temptation to do evil. What is the source of that temptation? Temptation to do evil. What is the place? Where is the place when we can get help for that kind of temptation? Those two questions, what is the source of the temptation to do evil, and where can we find help over against the temptation to do evil, we shall contemplate this morning. The inclination to shift blame is with us every day. If you take an examination and you don't do too well in the examination, you justify your performance by saying, "The professor on the examination asked all sorts of trivialities. I had not concerned myself with trivialities. I knew the important things, and the professor chose not to ask those." And when the professor evaluates the examination, he's not inclined to say that there was something wrong with the examination. He's quite confident that both the examination was good and that there had been clarity and comprehensiveness in the lectures that preceded the examination. And so the professor, when he sees that the students didn't do too well on the examination, says, "Students these days just don't know how to study." We shift the blame quite easily, don't we? It's as old as the hills. Yes, as old as the hills created by our Lord. For in the Garden of Eden, in the spiritual matters already, we find a shifting of the blame. For when God came to Adam and said to Adam, "Did you eat of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And Adam's response was, "The woman whom thou gavest me gave me fruit of the tree, and I did eat." And Eve replied to God, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Yes, it's part of the fallen sinful nature to try to shift the blame. Yes, even to blame God and place the fault for sin upon God himself. And so what Luther said and what James said has to be said. God does not tempt anyone, for God cannot be tempted by evil. God can have no association with evil, neither will he tempt anyone to do evil. For God is holy, as the prophet Isaiah was reminded when in his dramatic vision he saw the inhabitants of heaven covering their faces with their wings and crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And holiness can have nothing to do with evil. And so God does not tempt us to do evil. And when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, his Lord's Prayer, then indeed he did not want us to conclude at the point of the sixth petition that God was the one who would lead us into temptation. Indeed, that conclusion we dare not come to, because the very nature of God is holiness, and he can have no association with evil, nor will he tempt us to do evil. And so then, James identifies for us the source of temptation. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Yes, it is our own sinful nature which leads us into temptation. James echoes here what our Lord himself said too when he observed, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. And two, the sinful flesh, Luther adds in his explanation to the sixth petition, that the devil and the world, too, are deceivers who would lead us into temptation, who would appeal to our sinful flesh. And our sinful flesh does not need much bait from the devil and from the world to walk down the path of evil. We succumb all too easily because our natural sinful human nature has a kinship with the things which lead away from God rather than with the things which lead to God. And because that is the situation, our Lord included this petition, lead us not into temptation. For our Lord would not have us smear our newborn Christian life with shame and vice. And so we are to pray to the Lord that we might find assistance and gain assistance from him to withstand temptation. And when we pray to our Lord, we are assured that our Father indeed wants to give his Spirit to us. And when the Spirit is dwelling within us, as Paul says, then we are no longer controlled by the sinful nature, but by that Spirit who leads us to want to do those things which are pleasing to God. And therefore, we pray, lead us not into temptation, so that we might find divine assistance to resist our sinful flesh, the devil, and the world. And the Father hears our prayer and sends his Spirit to give our weak nature assistance over against temptation. But do we never slip? If we pray the Lord's Prayer daily, shouldn't we be able to come out perfectly? Oh, it's a foolish question, isn't it? We slip all too frequently because our human nature is a powerful adversary. And so we look again to the help which the Lord gives us. For our Savior himself, as the writer of the letter to the Hebrews said, was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so that Savior had a perfection, which is now considered to be our perfection before God when he judges us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when we slip, we have the consolation that we have a Savior who withstood temptation in our behalf. Yes, temptation the Lord Christ indeed did know. In the wilderness of temptation, he was tempted by Satan and withstood Satan for you and for me. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane too, with sleepy disciples just a stone's throw away, the Savior on his way to the cross felt the weight of sin, and he was not deterred in his journey to the cross. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, he said. And so he walked to the cross for sleepy disciples, walked to the cross for you and me, withstood temptation in our behalf. And so we can stand before God with the Savior pleading for us, the Savior who was perfect in all respects. Are we unappreciative of what our Lord Christ has won for us? Do we want to be careless with what he has gained for us? Oh no, 1,000 times no. And for that reason, we are not reluctant to rise and pray so that we might have his assistance, lest we fall into temptation, that we might have his assistance so that we might finally overcome and obtain the eternal victory. Amen.